Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. I'm your host, Dr. Lana Love. Unfortunately, David can't join us today. We're so happy to have you on the show. Today on the show, we have our good friend, Margaret Matias. Margaret is an award-winning writer, scientifically verified healer, spiritual teacher, and ordained minister who's helped thousands of people in more than 12 countries. And today we'll be talking about Margot's new book. Margot, of course, is the author of the popular oracle, The Career Cards, A Practical Guide to Life. And she conducts online courses, workshops, and speaking engagements and retreats all around the world. And she has just written her new book, Freed by the Light. And I have started reading it and I cannot put it down. Margot, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's delightful to be here, Lana. Thank you so much.
How are you? So good to see you.
It's great to see you too, always. Always.
I remember meeting at the conference in LA, spiritual conference. It was so exciting. So much energy, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And old friends meeting, right? For the first time.
That's right. So, Mike, I'm very excited about this book that you've written. If I just say, give a little bit of a spiel about the book, Freed by the Light is the first book, so I believe you're writing a series, to present compelling eyewitness accounts of before and after photos and medical histories as evidence that people are helped and hurt by unseen forces beyond this world. Absolutely fascinating. And you give quite a few examples from life of people being affected. Oh, there's your dog.
Yes, that's my dog, Max.
I love him. Isn't he beautiful?
Max, come over and say hello to the world. Max is amazing. Do you remember him from the expo? He was at the expo as well.
Absolutely. I believe he was a Buddhist monk in his past life. He's just got an amazing energy.
He was. He's a Zen master, yes. Thank you so much for acknowledging him. Appreciate that.
So, Margot, tell us about this book and how you came to write it.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I just want to show people, because the book, the cover itself is really a big part of the story of this book. So the photo on this cover, if everyone can see, is an untouched photo. So there's 101 photos and illustrations in this book, and none of them have been touched or altered in any way, except to enhance contrast, because they're all cell phone photos, essentially, right? We snap stuff and, you know, we don't stop and think, oh, it's gonna end up in a book one day, right? So anyway, Freed by the Light is this astonishing story of real life people encountering amazing, extraordinary things. And they're things that include everything from miraculous healings, which you had talked about before the show, to alien involvement, to angelic healings, to invasion by dark forces. So it really works on a big spectrum. And then it also talks about nanobots and how they're being put in our food supply. So we'll have to talk about that. Your photos of a little boy who actually had nanos in his brain. And yes, you'll see the photos. You won't believe it. And it's astonishing stuff that you just think this is crazy stuff, but it's real. It's real. And this is the first book to actually show like before and after photos. So it's something you can't look at and not really think for a moment, wow, this is really real because I'm looking at it, right? And it's right there. So it's the first book to really kind of prove that the supernatural world is real in a different way.
Right. I do love the title.
Thank you.
It's very powerful. And I love the fact that you have photos and other, information backing it up. And I believe that you were an investigative journalist in the past.
Yes,
and so you bring those investigative skills to the book.
Yes, and the angels really made me use them in the last part of the book. How the book came about. It came about because I started doing healings for people, and these extraordinary things happened. I mean, like, I didn't expect to get inside a little boy's brain and see nanobots and to have him change from being a sinister, frightening little boy to an innocent, sweet child overnight. The things that I've seen in the little boy whose mother healed him, those kinds of things. They happen every day, but we don't capture it. So I was so blessed to have the ability to capture these things with photos and Facebook posts and things that were verifiable. And the fact that, so many of the people signed affidavits and said, this is a real thing, I allow you to use my name. And so I brought that whole investigative journalist bearing to it. And I was writing the last chapters of it. The angels really led me down one rabbit hole after another. And I tell you, after you finish this book, you're going to want to bring me back on to talk about the GMOs and the pesticides and the vaccines and all that stuff, things that the angels really want us to know about and be careful about.
So that's interesting, because you have a section then, or several sections in the book, where you talk about the so-called conspiracy issues in the world that are obviously, you know, more and more people are aware of, but okay. Certainly sounds like the other main focus of the book is the supernatural world. And let's face it, we all wonder about it, but it's almost like there's been a conspiracy for ages since science came about to dismiss these forces in our world.
Yes, absolutely. And they do operate under a cloak of secrecy. And that's why this book is so important, because it kind of blows the lid off of that and starts a conversation for people to be able to say, hey, this happened to me, or I think this happened to me, or my neighbor had this problem, or, you know, maybe I have this physical problem that's actually caused by supernatural forces. And it's really starting a dialogue all around the world and giving people permission to talk about what's real for them.
Yeah.
And validating them, and then giving them some solutions to those things too.
And it sounds like you look at both the negative side of things, negative things affecting people, as well as the incredible positive side of things and the ability to call upon the light, the angels, whoever you might, in whatever way you call the light, to actually help us, which is incredibly reassuring, inspiring, and it just feels so wonderful that, you know, we can actually do something about any situation.
We can. And a whole big message of this book is that everyone has divine superpowers. You know, people put me on a pedestal because they think, oh, you have all these amazing talents. They have them too. They just haven't developed them to the degree that I have, or allowed them, or practiced them. So another huge theme of the book is, look, you know, you've got these same superpowers. Go ahead and start using your intuition, trusting your instincts, use your discernment, right? And you got all these things online, and they're there to protect you and help you.
Wonderful message. So maybe we can go first to that amazing example of that baby who was born with a genetic disorder that was actually literally taken away, and he was literally rebuilt from the inside by his mother.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The book starts out, since we're on video, I can show this. I have a bookmark. The book starts out with this little boy named Grant, and his mother had posted a story on Facebook that he was ill and he was dying, and I happened to be on Facebook and I saw his photo, and this is the photo that she posted on Facebook and asked for prayers. And I didn't know the family very well. They were a friend of a friend. And of course, I looked at this, and as a regular person, you can see the child is very ill. He's only 8 pounds there. He's 3 months old. And essentially, everything was shutting down. Like you said, I mean, every system in his body was shutting down. They didn't know what to do. And he was fighting against treatment. He would pull out the IVs. He would scream. He didn't want any nutrition. He didn't want any help. And they recognized this, but they didn't know why. Like, why does my little boy want to die? And so I got in touch with the mother. I said, would you like me to talk to him? She said, yes. And I spoke with him. And his voice was that of like a 30-year-old man. I was shocked.
So can I just interrupt there? When you say you spoke to him, this is clairvoyantly?
This is clairaudience, actually.
Clairaudience, okay.
Yes. So telepathically, I made a connection. Mm-hmm. And he was right there. So I basically, you know, got centered and said, you know, Grant, could I speak with you? Yes, right there, immediately. And I literally heard a voice. I mean, the voice had a tonal quality to it. It sounded like a mature man. It sounded like a very grounded and centered person, a spiritual person. And I was a little shaken by that. And he was very clear. He said, this body is sick. It will always be sick. And I don't want to be in it. But at that time, I didn't know anything about what was wrong with him. His mother, I put all the Facebook posts in here that she put, and she didn't say anything about what was wrong with him. She just said that he's in trouble. We need to pray for him. So she said, you know, he's hurting, blah, blah, blah. He said, this body's never going to be great. I'll just come back later when everyone's stronger. And I thought, well, everyone's or, you know, we all look like we're superstars on Facebook, right? So I had no idea that his parents or his family was going through anything. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out his mother almost died giving birth to his brother and almost died giving birth to him. And so they were still weak. His brother was still anemic. His mother was still recovering from all of that. And when I told her that, when I relayed all of this, she said, oh, now we know why he's fighting. So she looked at him and she said telepathically, if we give you the exact body you want, will you stay? And he had told me, I need to be an environmentalist. I'm going to hike mountains. I need to be very healthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I relayed to her. Go ahead.
That was a very courageous statement from the mother.
It was. Yes, exactly. She didn't hesitate stepping out in faith.
Mother's love.
Absolutely. And that's what she said. She said, exactly. She said, she just believed. And so she turned to those that she knew would believe and not let their rational brain get in the way. And she just started visualizing his body being perfect. But she also worked with his spirit. And as soon as she told him, you won't stay unless you have the exact body that you want, she felt him relax. And then that night, everything reached a crisis. I called her at 4:30 in the afternoon. Later that night, they had told her the only way they could save his life was if they started to put an IV in his head. Mm. That little tiny withered head. She said, you're not putting a needle in my son's head. It's not happening. And so she trusted Grant. She believed him when he said, yes, I will stay. Well, that night, he drank so much formula that he was released from intensive care overnight. Mm. He went from dying, imminent death from dehydration, to recovering so well overnight in the span of one evening that he was released out of intensive care the next day. He was released from the hospital 4 days later.
That's almost unheard of. Such amazing progress. Wow.
He gained 2.5 pounds in 4 days. And he just started, you know, gulping down formula. And the nurses were like, you can't give him that much formula. He's, you know, he's dehydrated. But she said, bring it or I'll give it to him.
Wow. And it's amazing that I believe that she got all her friends on Facebook to pray. So she had the angels or God on her side and all the community of Facebook. And what a wonderful way to use Facebook. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. And then a couple of weeks after that, the next chapter talks about how I healed myself from a spinal fluid leak.
Yes.
So I had a spinal fluid leak and was just, and the angels had told me that there would be a complication from the spinal injection that I had. And they said it would be fine within a couple of weeks. So I trusted them. I went ahead and had it. Had a little complication on the table and I had a spinal fluid leak. And so I did everything the doctors told me. And 8 days later, I still wasn't any better. And I was really having a lot of pain. So 13 days later, I was doing a session for a client because I could do it laying down. If I laid down, I had no problem. So I'd had this clearing set up weeks before. My client calls. I forgot about it. Did the session. Was fine. She says, how are you? And I told her what was happening. She says, well, why don't you do this on yourself?
I said, good idea. Oops, never thought about it.
No idea it would do anything physically. So I actually did the same process. I went inside and I found myself in the middle of my spinal fluid. Like I was in this river, this warm.
You entered your own body.
I did.
So to speak, mind boggles.
I truly did. And like I said, it was this opaque river. I was like standing in the middle of a river and it was warm and it was moving with this gentle current. And I was like, what is this? Because I'm not a doctor. And I thought, oh, this must be the spinal fluid. And so I looked around and I saw this like thin membrane. And I thought, oh, this must be the dura, the spinal fluid membrane that keeps it all in. And as I looked around, I saw two small holes, one by the side of my neck and one down at the injection site. And so the angels and I just started spinning different types of fibers and light and different types of things. And 45 minutes later, I sat up and I was perfectly fine. And
wow.
Yes. And that day we'd actually called a nurse because Tiffany had to go out of town to do one of her book signings. And I was in such bad shape. I couldn't stand up long enough to feed the dogs or to take care of myself. So we went from interviewing a nurse to me being perfectly fine. It was 13 days. The angel said I'd be fine in a few weeks. It was one day shy of 14 days.
That is amazing. Of course, Margot, I know from previous experience with you and your description of helping people, you have a knack for entering inside people's bodies or minds and you know, doing all sorts of repair work. And I've not actually met any other clairvoyant or psychic that does that.
I never want to say I'm the only one. I know that does it in this way.
You actually go in there and
yeah, I can have a look around in just about anything. And I've swum up people's intestines before and ovaries and
oh my god. Okay. Oh wow, amazing, absolutely amazing. So it must be very empowering to know that you can actually heal yourself.
Yes, it was. But again, like most people, it's not the first thing I think of, right?
Yes,
and I had a situation in December where I had an infection and I was in terrible pain and I was screaming in pain. And I got this really loud dinging in my left ear. I mean, super loud, like clanging a bell. And it was the angels. That's kind of their symbol to get a hold of me. And I actually said, what? And I said, okay, if you want to talk to me, why don't you talk to me? But if you really want to help me, why don't you get rid of this damn pain? And it went like that. Just literally, it just left. It was gone. They removed it in that second. And it was because I had to ask them.
That's what I wanted to ask you. It's very strange to me that we have all these loving light spirits, angels, God himself, and yet it seems that in many cases they will not intervene or help unless you ask.
Yes, it's because free will has been violated so badly on the earth by the forces of dark that the forces of light will never, ever invade. So sometimes when people tell me, oh, you know, I have this thing coming to me at night and it's doing this and it's doing that and it's telling me this and it's telling me that, I'm like, that's not angels. Angels don't do that. They don't invade your space ever. Angels are very subtle. They're very, very almost imperceptible. And they don't ever invade. They don't do anything intrusive at all. They have to be invited. They have to be asked. Now, there are instances in which if we're in physical danger and it's part of our destiny path not to experience that injury or that harm, they will intervene. I had an experience, and I wish my wife was here to validate it. But when we were first dating, we were walking along at dusk, and all of a sudden, Lana, I was up in the air. I literally levitated. Up in the air. She was here. She looked up at me. I'm looking down at her. My feet are doing this like Fred Flintstone in the old cartoon. And I'm looking down and she's looking up at me and they just set me back down. And I looked behind me and there was a signpost that had been bent down and I wouldn't have seen it. And I may have even, you know, knocked my teeth out had I fallen on it. And so the angels have actually lifted me up and set me down without me having to ask because I was in harm's way.
Well, that was very nice of them.
It was extremely nice of them.
So it sounds like in recognition of the fact that this is a planet where the light forces have to abide by the law of free will, we do have to remember to ask. And most people don't remember to do that, and most people don't think that they have to do that. Presumably, though, when you pray to God, that is asking for help.
Yes, but later in the book, it talks about really what's going on here. And okay. I had a woman who came up to me at a holistic fair, and she looked absolutely desperate, like a chained animal. And I looked at her, and I saw that she was in these heavy silver chains. And I said, "You're in chains." And she said, "I know, but why?" And this woman grew up in religion. She went to a mega church here in Los Angeles with a very famous pastor, Rick Warren. I mean, you know, he's really famous. Had been in religion her entire life, begging God to free her, begging God every night, free me, help me, and nothing happened until she met me. And I could see the source of what was going on with her. So we did a session. And I get in there, and the first thing I notice is that there's this light and dark, this war going on inside of her. And so I said, "What's going on?" And the dark said, "She's ours." And I said, "No, she's not. That's ridiculous. She's a being of light. I can see that. She's not yours." They said, "Yes, she is." And so I didn't know what to do. It was very early on in my learning. So I asked the angels, as I do in every session, "What do I do?" And the angels said, "Ask for the paperwork. See the paperwork." And I said, "What paperwork?" They said, "Just say it." So I said to the dark, "Show me the paperwork." And they showed me a scroll that was like a contract. And I said, "Let me see it more closely." So I looked at it and it said 1400. And then I said, "Well, let me see when this happened." And they showed an image of her being burned at the stake in France as a witch. And in those days, of course, you know, whenever they tortured the witches, they would torture them until they proclaimed their allegiance to the dark, even though it wasn't true. And literally at that moment, when she said, yes, 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 the dark said, I'll take that. And they snatched her soul. They snatched her soul. And I said, literally, that's dirty pool. You don't get to keep it. And so the angels came in and there was a little bit of a dispute and we won. And I got to rip up the contract and her life completely changed. 2 days later, she got the job of her dreams. She was about ready to divorce her husband. He completely changed. She looked so different a month later when she came to a psychic party I had at my house. I did not recognize her. And she said, I felt the chains go off me. Mm-hmm. I felt that a spiritual oppression leave me. And that's the thing. There are people on this planet who are suffering terrible spiritual oppression, mm-hmm. and they cry out to God, and God can't help them. And you say, well, why can't God help you? Because God is all powerful. Well, if you think of it in terms of a war, right, that we all understand Earth is under attack. We're in a spiritual war here, right? Okay. If someone has been taken as a prisoner of war, they're surrounded by the enemy. They're being held by the enemy. You have to have a force come in and basically fight for them and release them. And so that's what happened. And the angels, as soon as that bond was broken, as soon as that soul contract was severed, the angels flooded in. I wept with how much love they had for her. They said, we wanted to be there. If I keep talking about it, I'll cry again. They said, we wanted to be there for you. We heard every time you cried out, but you belonged to someone else and we couldn't help you.
Okay, I'm trying to understand this, and it almost sounds like there's legal issues in the spiritual world and paperwork in the spiritual world, but
is it,
and if I was to understand this psychologically, is it that literally the paperwork was binding her, or is it that she was somehow believing that
she had no idea. No, and actually in the book, I give the scripture, and it says, just give me a second here. It talks about that there are principles. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers and authorities and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places.
This is from the Bible,
Ephesians. It actually says this. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavens, the authorities and rulers in heavenly places. And then it also talks about later, I think Paul writes a letter and in the Bible, and he says, you know what? Basically, Satan's in charge of the world. He roams around like a lion trying to devour people. And he said, you must understand that your brethren all over the world are dealing with the same suffering. This is all in the Bible. And when you think about what Jesus's sacrifice was, Jesus said, I bought you. I ransomed you. I ransomed you, which means what? We were owned by somebody else, and his death paid for us.
Well, this is very worrying, Margot. What you're basically saying is planet Earth is under the dominion of the dark forces. And unfortunately, the angels and even God may not have much they can do about it unless someone advocates and discusses it with the darkness and shows up problems in the paperwork. That is a worrying situation.
Well, I can see that it's worrying, but to me and to so many others that realize this, it's liberating, because we know that we cry out to God and God doesn't always come. We know that there's evil in the world. How can there be evil in the world if God is in charge? It doesn't work that way, right? Obviously, God is not in control, right? there's wickedness all over the world, right? Obviously, we see this, right? And we have so many world systems that are set up on anti-loving systems, on greed and corruption and lying and deception and power over, right? Those we know are not loving principles, right? So we understand that. So if we understand, and it says several times in the Bible that, you know, okay, this was leased to the devil for a period of time, and this is how it is. That's why so many people like you and I and all the light forces are sent here. There are people like you and I. I can't remember a day of my life where I didn't wake up and think I was on a mission to save the world, right? And we don't know why, but that's why, because we're not from here. We come here to increase the light. We come here to win this battle. We come here to break the hold, to break the stronghold. And the Bible talks about that too, about the stronghold that has to be broken with rulers and authorities. Mm. So it is extremely legalistic.
So it certainly sounds like there is definitely a need for light workers that have a warrior type of mentality. Yes. You really need to go in and fight for others that are taken over by the darkness.
Yes.
And I guess my question to you is that, is it not enough then to pray or to ask the angels to help? Do you actually need to look at contracts? I mean, how powerful are these contracts with dark forces?
Well, it depends. I mean, if basically your soul has been deeded to the dark, then you're going to have to break that contract one way or another. Because it's just like a war. It's like, well, we have this prisoner and we have the paperwork on this prisoner. And so when we go to a foreign country to get a hostage out, we have to show up with papers and war, and we have to have a negotiation, right, to get that hostage out. So
what about just kidnapping?
Same thing, right. Yes, they definitely do kidnap.
No, but I mean, surely the light can just go in and kidnap the souls.
The light doesn't kidnap, because that's intrusive.
Oh, my God.
I know, we wish that they would, right? This person's possessed, just jump in there and throw them out. But that's not how they work. They don't intrude on anything.
I mean, if you're having to deal with this very intricate paperwork, it sounds like you need a very, very good barrister, lawyer barrister, to advocate on your behalf.
Who are soul lawyers. But the angels know what to do. So it's not me saying this is how we break the contract.
Okay.
You just invite the angels, and the angels say the words exactly the way they need to be said, and they have all that knowledge. We don't need to have that knowledge. We just have to have the knowledge that maybe we need to ask them to help in that way, and they will handle all of that.
I see. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it sounds like in many cases, though, just asking for help isn't enough, and it sounds like angels are not violent, and they're very anti-breaking any boundaries, even if the boundary is one where you're possessed by the darkness. So it sounds like we need more than just angels. It sounds like we need light warriors like yourself.
We do, and we need awareness that maybe this is what our problem is.
Mm.
In the past, when we've cried out for God and God didn't come, then we wonder one of two things. Either God isn't real or I'm not worthy, basically, right? We either feel abandoned by God, or we feel that there's something wrong with us, that we've done something wrong, or we're not worthy of that intervention. And what I've discovered in working with these thousands of people in all these countries is that the light is always there. The light always comes in to save. And it's just a matter of knowing, as a doctor, right? So a person may present with a problem, and you can treat it with all kinds of things, but unless you get to the core of what the problem really is, then you can't effectively solve it. So my book is telling people, look, you know, maybe the answer to your problem is over here. Maybe the problem is spiritual oppression. It's not praying right, or it's not that you're not doing this right, or it's not that God doesn't love you. It's that there's a war going on, and maybe because of your light, you're being guarded as a prisoner of war. Intervention to free you.
Wow, amazing. Amazing, very confronting stuff. And presumably, though, each case is a different...
Yes.
Presumably, you have to look at it at a case-by-case basis. So how many diverse situations are there where you can help people? I mean, you talked about this boy who was in a body that was not healthy.
Right.
You talked about darkness being possessing another soul. Presumably there's lots of other different cases.
Yes, let me just show
situations.
Let me just show this little boy that we talked about earlier. This is Travis. This is a little boy. His mother was frightened of him. He's only 7 years old in that photo. And you can see, you know, he looks unhappy. And his face is kind of distorted, right? His jaw is really long and protruding. He also has a dent on his chin over here on the left side, or whatever side that is showing in the camera, okay? Well, when I got into him, I saw that there were nanobots actually in his brain, and we can talk about that story later. But this is him after he was cleared.
Why, he looks completely different. That's
when I
amazing.
Thought they look like the same people. They literally do not look like the same people. His jawline actually changed.
My goodness.
In 3 days, I did the session. 3 days later, his jaw, it may have happened the next day, noticed.
This is just a few days later.
Yes, this is just a few days later.
Okay.
Well, it was at Christmas, but I saw him shortly after that, and he looked completely different. I'll show you a photo of him in here.
So, as a medical doctor, I can't see how that's possible. That's just amazing that things can transform.
Wow. You asked me about this book because, look at all these crazy things that happened.
Yeah, but it's wonderful.
Right. So this is him. This was him. He used to tell his mom he was a soldier, and he was so tormented. This is him. He's like 5 years old in that photo.
Yes.
And look how serious and angry and burdened he feels, right? Because he was involved in this cosmic war that he didn't ask for. So this is a photo of him the day, 2 days after I cleared him. See how happy and normal he is? He grew a whole size. He went from a size 8 to a size 10 within a week. His mom had to buy him all new clothes.
My goodness.
Got up in height. And then his jaw literally changed. It became symmetrical. It shortened up. The dent went away. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But
so how did you clear him? What was involved?
Well, his case was kind of interesting because and this is interesting too, his mother would always say, he talks loud. And when I say to him, why are you talking so loud? He says, Mom, he says, it's so loud in here. There's all these noises in my head. And he said to her, Mom, there are little men in my brain building things.
Right.
He said that to her at 7 years old. And he would talk all the time. She said, who are you talking to? Oh, Mom, they never leave me alone. And she just thought he was crazy, right? You know?
Mm.
So I get inside of his head. And the first thing I see is a cyborg, like from the movies, right? So half man, half machine. And there's this cyborg sort of holding like a sentinel. And then I hear construction noises, the noises that he said he heard in his head.
Mm-hmm.
I hear them. They're very loud. So I looked over, and what I actually saw was like scaffolding being built over his head, over his brain. I had someone do a drawing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I saw, like scaffolding over a building under construction.
Oh, my goodness.
This is what I saw in his brain.
Yeah,
and I heard the steel girders being moved all over the place. And so I tried to connect with an intelligence. Usually there's someone present. There was no consciousness. It was all automated. So whatever it was machine. It was some type of AI. Then I saw two blinking lights attached to implants, which I see when someone has an implant. So the angels destroyed those and removed them. Then, basically, I had to talk to some galactic forces of light, and they removed, they forced this AI or alien race to remove all of the scaffolding. And they left and took their scaffolding with them, and then we put protections around him, and he's been fine ever since. He's been a happy little boy. But it was astonishing. I mean, he's just, you know, because he would talk really loud. Travis, why? It's so loud in my head, Mom. There's so many noises. There's little men in my head building things.
I've heard of nanotechnology and the possibility. I mean, we have nanotechnology, I believe, in moisturizing creams and things like that, which
is
very frightening.
Yes,
but we've heard of the possibility of the government using nanotechnology against us in the future.
Yes. It's food. Now,
what is your theory with this boy? Was it our government or was it an alien civilization doing this? And what was their purpose?
I asked the angels and they said it's in the food. So I started looking into it, and there's something every one of your listeners and audience should go to the Center for Food Safety.
Okay.
And the Center for Food Safety keeps a database of nanotechnology. And basically now, if you look at any popular snack food, look on the bottom, it will say partially produced with genetic engineering.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. So they target little boys because they can make them aggressive. He was being tormented with thoughts of being a soldier. And I've seen this so many times in little boys, and even the rates of autism in little boys are higher than little girls. And I believe it's because these alien races are trying to create super soldiers. And I am not a conspiracy theorist.
Mm.
I'm an average person. You know, I'm an investigative reporter. I'm not given to paranoia. You know that from my Facebook posts. It's not something that I don't go there. But this is what I notice, and this is what I observe, and this is what I see. So I just reported it. And the angels were really adamant to talk to people about this nanotechnology in the food.
It's absolutely frightening, and so glad that you've made us aware of that. I'm certainly going to look at all the boxes that my, unfortunately, I have a 13-year-old that's regularly into junk food, so I think we'll be wiping that off the shelves.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Wow. How wonderful that you were able to save this boy. Just amazing, amazing stuff, Margot. I think that you have some examples in the books of people hearing voices, so-called psychosis, and me as a mental person, as a doctor with mental health, I have particular interest in this because I'm getting more and more cases of people that do not see young people that don't seem to be actually psychotic. In other words, they're sort of making sense, and yet they hear sometimes these hallucinations that are in your head, heard with the ears, not necessarily in your head. I recently had a 14-year-old who seems to be tormented by this figure who has red eyes and horns.
Oh, wow.
And she actually seems quite normal. As a medical doctor working in psychiatry, it's very difficult for me because I have alternative views. The first thing that I thought when I saw her and heard what she had to say was, this seems like she's been possessed by something. And of course, we're in the difficulty. We can't, you know, I'll be kicked out if I'll be thought of being psychotic, but I suggest that. But I honestly, in some cases, you honestly do feel that this is a supernatural issue.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to know what to do in those cases.
Absolutely. Refer them to someone like me.
Okay.
Because people like me get it. There are shamans that understand those things. Interdimensional healers understand those things. And I talk about that in the book and in Travis's chapter. I tell parents, believe your children. Travis told his mother every night, there's something in my room. I don't feel good. I don't feel safe in here. There's something in my room. And he actually had a portal to hell in his room. And he's not the only child that I've seen like that. They target them because of their light. So we should have an assumption versus that nothing's out there, sort of that, it is kind of the de facto, there probably is something, and we need to add in the spiritual component of healing and understanding to make sense of our world, because otherwise we're missing the core of the problem.
So, Marco, I'd be interested in your view, so-called psychosis, when people tend to hear voices, and by and large, those voices are always negative and destructive.
Yes.
And that can be accompanied sometimes by visual hallucinations and also by thought disorder, where there's literally difficulty thinking properly.
Yes.
And psychologically, it does appear that, you know, quite often there's the disintegration of the self. Do you think any of those cases could in fact be just chemical malformation, you know, chemical imbalances, as the medical community suggests, or do you think all of those cases are in fact an issue of the darkness trying to capture someone's soul?
I think the predominance is the darkness. I think that there are organic problems. There is such a thing as mental illness. I've had a few clients that have come my way, and when I talk to the angels, they're like, it's mental illness. It's not us. They need to be treated that way. Of course, I'm not a doctor. I don't tell them that. I just say, you know, I don't think that I can help you like this. But yes, as a healing community, as physicians and doctors and therapists and psychiatrists, we need to understand that this is real. I mean, there's a woman in the book who perfectly normal later. In fact, she's a social worker herself. And she had a situation. She said all her life she felt like she was connected to heaven by a golden cord. One day she was driving in her car. She felt the cord get cut. She said she felt it like it landed on the top of her car like a rope. She was so devastated by the loss of this connection to heaven that she pulled over to the side of the road and was inconsolably crying. What happened after that was beings coming to her. She's sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis where you can't move and there's something over you. That's most of the time. I'm sorry. It just
Right.
She had what she thought was sleep paralysis with a dark figure over her, and then even some things that appeared to be alien. And they tormented her. And during the day, she felt like her energy was being siphoned off. At night, she couldn't sleep because they attacked her. They kept just coming at her and disturbing her sleep and terrifying her. And what's a therapist supposed to do, right? Oh, I'm being tormented by some crazy weird thing, right? But she found me, and I looked into the situation. I did see that it was alien in nature, and I actually saw the grays coming in out of the window. And because the angels will show me a video of what's going on, or a video of what started things in the past. And we've even cured addiction like this.
Really?
Yes, heroin addiction, drinking overnight, finding the spirit that's attached to it, that's asking, that's creating that drive, right? So I got rid of, broke that connection with the alien, sent them packing. Her golden cord was restored that night. And now at night, she sleeps like a baby and sees a golden lion with wings by the side of her bed. Now, I got to tell you, the people in this book, Lana, are as cogent and lucid and intelligent and professional.
Sure.
The majority of them are doctors, lawyers, dentists, very educated people, very highly logical people. They are not people that you would call histrionic in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Very normal, very grounded people who are dealing with inexplicable things.
It's just very confronting to think that we live in a world where the supernatural is all around us. I mean, it's lovely to think that there are angels and light beings around us. Not so nice to think that there are nasty entities around us.
No.
And look, what is it with these nasty entities? Being from a Buddhist background myself, we tend not to think about dark or light, or bad or good. We tend to think of skillful and unskillful, ignorant versus aware. So I don't know how you feel about this, but what is it with these evil beings? Is it that they're just ignorant? Is it that they're lacking in energy of their own, or they have to siphon it off others? What is their issue? And could someone please give them therapy?
I'll send all of them to you for healing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times when I get in there, they are soldiers just like our soldiers. Most of the energies that I deal with, they kind of fall into three categories, okay? One is sort of, you know, dark entities that are opportunistic and they want to siphon energy, alien races that want to control us through AI and use us for those things. And then these sort of parasitic energy forms that want to kind of move into us, live through us, and use our life force, okay? And what I find in dealing most of the time with the dark is if I ask them, why are you doing this? They very simply say, to suppress the light. And they're very casual. It's not like the movies, you know, with the, I've heard the growling and the screaming, and I mean, I've dealt with people who were classically possessed. And, you know, that's one thing. But most of the time, they'll simply say to suppress the light. And when you say to suppress the light, they just say, that's my job. I was sent here to do a job. Just like our soldiers go to another country, they act on orders. It's not personal. They don't have any investment in it. They're doing their
job.
Not
personal. Okay. It's very nice to know it's not personal. Is it? I mean, I know that David sometimes talks about dark entities being like crocodiles and sharks. It's just the way they're made. So, I mean, does the darkness actually have any responsibility for what they're doing? Or do we take that they, can they evolve? Or are they just made this way? Is there no hope?
Sometimes they do evolve. I've been so surprised. I mean, I've literally gone to hell and back with many clients. And, you know, when you get there, when you have a being, sometimes it'll appear as a dark dragon, a black dragon, or things like that. And I give it the option to go to the light, and very often they're frightened because they've been programmed that the light will hurt them or the light will kill them.
Really?
Yeah.
They actually think the light is the darkness.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes. Just it's propaganda. They've been told that this is a bad thing. Yeah, absolutely. And they're terrified. And so I say, my technique is I say, why don't you release a little bit of yourself into the light and see how it feels, right? Because we're connected, right, to our tissues. And so they'll do it, and 8 or 9 times out of 10, once they do that and they see how liberating it is, that they can go back into a form of original source and be whatever they choose to be, and they can stop holding this form or this energy or performing this task, they do it. And they're grateful and they're like, wow, this is great. And, you know, and we show them mercy. But sometimes, you know, they're very obstinate. And then sometimes it's a very militaristic hierarchy. So I've had to deal with alien invaders who, you know, had to be destroyed because it was the only way they could honorably end their mission. They couldn't go back and be a failure and be kicked out. They were like, please kill me because it's the only way I can die with honor. And so we
It sounds like trying to be very, I guess, empathic towards both sides. And ultimately, you know, I believe in a non-dualistic world. It sounds like a lot of entities in the darkness are themselves controlled and tortured.
Yeah.
So,
and
what is
a job? Mm-hmm.
So who is doing this? Is there the dark beyond, you know, beyond the dark that's doing this? I mean, who?
Well, I mean, there are dualities, right? I mean, we, especially on Earth, Earth is full of polarities, right? We have light and dark.
Ultimately, though, would you agree that when you awaken, you can see beyond dualities, and duality is just an illusion?
Well, the way I see it is sort of like worlds within worlds, okay? So when you expand the universe out to its totality, everything's in balance and there is no duality. And I can recall when I was in between lifetimes being part of all that was. And there was no separation, there was no darkness, there was just bliss and connectedness. And I remember that and I have it in my cellular memory. But as you come closer into density and coming to planet Earth, this is the place where duality is most pronounced. And so this is a planet of dualities and polarities. So this is where this sort of war between good and evil. And it's interesting, why does every movie we have focus on some form of good versus evil? Because it's in our subconscious. It's what we are here to do as humans. It's what we come here to experience. And so here, yes, there's tremendous duality here.
Is it correct to say that it's not that the whole planet is has darkness around it? Do we have parts of the planet that seem to have a lot of light around it? I mean, is it?
Yes, we're not. Definitely, yes. And there's many light workers here to raise the vibration. Why do we have to raise the vibration? Because it's too low. What creates low vibration? Not enough light.
Of course, yes. It does appear that we're all ascending, certainly with the Earth resonance seems to be going up and up. So hopefully there is hope for us to be freed by the light.
Yes, exactly. But that's the purpose of the book, to wake people up to say, if you're crying out for God and God isn't coming, there's probably a reason and you didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like going to a doctor, you can sit at home all day and say, I don't know why my arm doesn't work. But you go to a doctor says, bing, 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 bing. It's this. This is how we fix it. Mm-hmm. So my book is meant to really make people aware of this and create awareness so that they can start to get the spiritual help that they need for themselves, their children, whoever.
And obviously, sometimes it might not be enough to just ask for help. Sometimes you have to be more active and actively seek a light worker to help them.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And certainly in your book, I believe you've also got a section on past lives. Tell us a little bit about how past lives can affect people's symptoms and sense of well-being in their current life.
Oh, absolutely. I had a woman who was having a conflict with her her boss. And she kept wanting to leave this job, and she couldn't leave the job. And she would get job offers, and she still couldn't leave. And she would say, I'm absolutely unhappy, but I can't leave. And she was surrounded by light workers. She worked at a holistic health center part-time. Mm. And she'd gone to all these people, but she'd been there for 9 years. She met me. I did a session. And I went into the past lives, and the angel showed me this whole collage of lifetimes they had together, from the Wild West to China when he bound her feet as a child, and all these things where he basically owned her.
Oh, my goodness.
That slavery thing was still very much there. So when we broke that contract, she left the job within a week and has been happy ever since. And the book also talks about curses. Mm-hmm. There was a woman who just said, I think I have a curse. And boy, she had a curse. And I mean, she couldn't get a job for a year and a half. As soon as that curse was lifted, she got two jobs within 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And a dear friend of mine that I used to work with called me and said, my daughter's anorexic. And so I looked into it and I saw this hag. And I said, who's this hag? And she said, oh, I think it's a woman on this team. And so we went through the whole thing, and the angels prescribed this massively complex ritual that they had to do to break the curse. And as soon as she started texting me about the problem, her daughter started eating. Her daughter didn't even know she was texting me. But the minute she connected with me, the daughter started eating. And that day she ate 1,700 calories, and she'd eaten nothing the entire day. And prior to that, she was eating 500 calories a day.
And
wow. She completely recovered within a couple of months.
That's just amazing.
You don't think my daughter's anorexic because of a curse. You know?
And it sounds like there's a lot of variation of what can be causing the same sort of symptoms. So awareness is everything. And how can people find you? I'm just wondering whether you'd like to give your website.
Absolutely, sure. They can get the book Freed by the Light at www.freedbythelight.com. You can also get it on Amazon, and it'll shortly be in Barnes & Noble. And they can just reach me at margo@freedbythelight.com. And I'm doing an online course to help people develop this type of discernment and build their own spiritual awareness. I'm doing it ongoing. So they can also contact me about that. Yes, it's really powerful, and people are just signing up all over the place. It's and it's in the book too. You can get more information about the course here. But it's 12 weeks, not concurrent, but really kind of going into each of these gifts and how you can awaken it in yourself, empower yourself, and start to free yourself from some of these things. Absolutely.
It's certainly something that most people are not aware of. So I'm so glad that you're making people aware of that. And it's just so wonderful to see the people in your book that have gone on to live really happy lives. It must feel really good, Margo.
It does. It does.
Yeah, you're a real spiritual warrior. It's wonderful. And what is the take-home message for people, would you say?
The take-home message is that you're probably dealing with things that you're not aware of, and there is help available. You just struggle and just, you know, tread water anymore, or think you're a failure, or think that God doesn't love you.
Yes.
There's tremendous love and help for you. It's just you have to go to a specialist, perhaps, and get that type of help. But help is available, and you can be free.
Thank you so much, Margo. It's absolutely amazing. You know, it really confronts our reality, but it's important for us to be aware of the world that we live in and aware of the fact that we can take our freedom back.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
Yay, the Light Warriors.
Yay, Light Warriors.
Yes, thank you so much, Margo.
Thank you.
And this is Dr. Lana Love from Universal Soul Love. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week on BBS Radio. Bye now.